And the answer always is, no, we're not. Because it's only as we believe in God that we are accepted in him and that we receive the blessings of Christ. But yes, we've finished that series, Mad to Believe. We've looked very briefly at the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we picked those three because they're really seen as the patriarchs throughout the Bible. You know, very often God will introduce himself as, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so we just thought it'd be good to put a wee brief outline of those three men's lives. Of course, they were father and son and grandfather and grandson. But we're going to continue the family story, though we're giving our theme a new name. And so we're going to come and look at the family of Jacob, specifically Joseph. And we've entitled our theme, Life's Not Fair. And I think you'll see why pretty quickly. In fact, if you're at all familiar with the story of Joseph, you'll already have thought of about five or six examples of how life was not fair from him. But it's a statement that doesn't really take a genius to work out in this life, you know, aside from the Bible. I think every one of us is very, very familiar with the whole idea that life's not fair. You know, we can take it outside of ourselves and we can watch the news and watch documentaries about things that are going on in the world, and it's so obvious that life is not fair. Like, you see images on the TV screens of some of these poor countries where already people are in distress, and then famine comes, or then a war breaks out in their country and things seem to just go from bad to worse. Or because they're poor and because there's been a famine, well, then disease breaks out. And you just think, my goodness. We find the wicked prospering. And that is always something that galls us. You know, when you see the drug dealers that are always evading conviction and they're living the life of luxury and they're doing that at the expense of all these people who are whose lives have been ruined by drugs. You know, there is no fairness in the world. But you can always bring it closer to home. You know, we can look around here tonight and see an awful lot of unfairness, whether it's families that have been broken, whether it's tragedy that's happened in people's lives. Maybe it's just sickness, and I don't say that just lightly. Or perhaps it's a loss, or multiple losses. Doesn't it seem to be sometimes when tragedy strikes a person's life that then more tragedy and more tragedy and more tragedy? Some people just seem to live a tragic life. But I can probably safely say that none of our lives have gone according to script. You know, when you're 18, 19, and you're full of all, you're going to conquer the world. You know, life's just going to work out perfectly for you. And then you get to your late 20s and things are starting to not quite have worked out the way you wanted, and it goes on like that. Life's not fair. Well, we're going to be looking at Joseph, and tonight is very much, it's more by way of introduction, but we're going to see even unfairness in the introduction. Joseph, you see, was one of 12 brothers. And if we go back to Jacob, and this will sort of test your memory. If you remember Jacob, he had two wives. He had Leah and he had Rachel. But then they also both gave them their maidservants. So they bore children for him as well. So there was four mothers of these 12, and I'm just going to fly through them. Of course, there was Leah, who Jacob married first. He hadn't planned to marry her first. He planned to marry Rachel, of course, but his uncle Laban conned him. But she bore to him Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And for anyone who's half familiar with the Bible, you'll think, oh, weren't those the names of the tribes of Israel? Well, of course, because Jacob is now called Israel, and these are his sons, and to each of his sons, their families became a tribe of Israel. So that was Leah. She had six sons. And then her maidservant Zilpah had two, Gad and Asher. And then Rachel's maidservant, she had two, Dan and Naphtali. And then there was finally Rachel, who had Joseph and Benjamin. So Joseph, while he is got 11 brothers, they're not all his full brothers. Some of them are half brothers. And that alone would probably cause some strife. But what we find out, I'm going to just read this one verse to get us going. You don't need to turn to it. It says, now Israel, that's Jacob, of course. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So we see, not only was the idea that they didn't all have the same mothers, but here's Joseph, one of 12, nearly the youngest of 12. Benjamin was the youngest of them all. But here he is, the father's favorite. So much so, and you know, nowadays fathers may have their favorites, but they try to keep it hush-hush. They try to keep it quiet, you know. They don't let on to everyone. But here Jacob isn't pulling any punches. He makes him the coat of many colors, or the greatly ornamented robe. And it sets him apart, and his brothers cannot stand him. And I'm sure if you spoke to any one of those guys, they would say, this isn't fair. Especially if you spoke to Reuben, because Reuben's the firstborn. He's the eldest. He's the one who's supposed to be the father's favorite. He's the one who's supposed to be inheriting all the blessing from his father. And here, not only is it not his second, you know, the second oldest, but it's nearly the youngest. So hatred abounds in that family between the brothers. And I am sure the brothers would have said from time to time, boy, dear, life's not fair. You see, if Joseph got anything special, you know, they'd have looked at each other and sort of rolled their eyes and go, here we go again. You know, Daddy's favorite getting everything. Of course, it turns out Joseph didn't exactly help himself. Because here we go, we're going to read, this is a passage for today, chapter 37 of Genesis. Starting at verse, we'll read verse 2 first. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. So he's a tout. Not only is he the father's favorite, but he's a wee telltale too. He goes and tells bad reports on his brothers. Now, in essence, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm sure it doesn't go down well with his brothers. He's a tout. Don't trust him with anything. Keep everything away from him. Then it goes on in verse 5 to say, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it. Now, I have to say, if I had been in Joseph's situation, where I'm already the most unpopular one of my brothers, where they already hate me because I've touted on them, and I had a dream like this, I would have kept it to myself. But Joseph, not like that. Joseph tells things how it is, and he had a dream and he shared it. And of course, the dream goes down like a bucket of willocks. It is. It's not helping. And it goes on, and he has another dream. Where do you hear? And then verse 9, then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his fathers as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Even his parents didn't like this dream. thought this was going, you know, this is stretching it too far. But his father wasn't quite like his brothers. His father just kept it and rebuked him and kept it in mind, whereas his brothers, they were jealous of him. They hated him. They despised him. And whoever's taking on the story next week, I can't remember, it's Taddy. Taddy will pick up on the story there. But the story is set with hatred set in the family. But while I was thinking that the brothers would all say, life's not fair, here's Joseph the spoilt one. I'm sure Joseph at times sat down in his own and went, life's not fair. After all, what did Joseph do to deserve all this hatred? He hadn't done anything wrong. It just so happened he was his father's favourite. He didn't ask for it. He just told the truth. He just told things how it was. And all of a sudden he finds himself on his own in the family, hated by all his brothers. So Joseph is saying life's not fair. And when I started thinking about this, it's really interesting. It goes back, you see, while part of the reason why Joseph is, I'm going to get all my names muddled up before the end of the night. Well, Joseph is Jacob's favorite, simply because he was born in his old age. It's also because his mother was Rachel, and Rachel was always Jacob's favorite. Now you might say, you see, Jacob's got favourites. He had two wives and two maidservants, and he's got a favourite. But you see, if you spoke to Jacob about this, Jacob would say, well, that's because life wasn't fair. That's because Laban conned me. Do you remember? Laban, I thought I was marrying Rachel first up, and he gave me his other daughter, Leah, and all the problems result because of that. And you speak to Leah, and Leah goes, it's not my fault. Life's not fair. I just landed in this situation. My dad talked me into it. Rachel says, life's not fair for me either. All of a sudden, my sister doesn't like me, and we're in competition over having children. It's not my fault. And you go back to Jacob. Jacob said, life's not fair. Remember, it was my uncle conned me. But as Taddy pointed out, Jacob was only reaping what he sowed, because he had conned his brother and he had conned his dad. And they would say, life's not fair. Think about Esau. Life's not fair. He got done out of both blessing and birthright. It's amazing how it comes round and everybody is claiming life is not fair. It's also amazing how a lot of it stems back to favoritism and how these people all had their favorites. You know, Isaac, yes, I was right. Isaac had his favorite. Esau was Isaac's favorite. And you remember Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. And that caused difficulties and that caused problems. And then Jacob had his favorites. Joseph was his favorite son. See, favoritism is rife in this story. It's also rife in this world. In this story, the results are grim of all this favoritism, because we end up with a family that's full of hatred and fear and plans of retribution, trying to set the story straight. And so many problems that we encounter in our families, in our circles of friends, in our country, comes down to a lot of the same very basic problems. Unfairness. And in fact, I think I'd describe it as an intrinsic part of life. I don't think we can go far without seeing unfairness. Whether it is the extreme examples that I started with, you know, as we see on our TV screens, or whether it's just the more mundane. Maybe it's just the people jumping in front of us in the queue. Or I'll tell you what one of my pet hates is. You see, if you're sitting at a roundabout, right? And you may not all get this. You're sitting at a roundabout, and there's two lanes. You're in the lane for turning left and going straight on, and there's stacks of cars in it. And here in the outside lane, there's hardly any cars, but it's only for turning right. So some smart aleck thinks, oh, well, I'll fire on down this lane and I'll go right round the roundabout and turn left and I'll get out quick. And I'm always on the ball with these guys. I know exactly who they were. Who was it last? I could tell you it was a wee mini clubman did it the last time, and there was a van as well. I can't remember. You see, that's unfair. Because not only are they getting out too quickly, but they're making my life slower. They're making my journey slower. Not fair. Wee silly things like that, they really grate us. And like, I know that that's just nothing. But I'm sure if I ended up parking beside them and the pair of us went in somewhere together, I would treat them different. Kicking the shins, nail down the car. No, I wouldn't go that far. But it does. It's an intrinsic part of our life. And it's all a result of the sin in this world. It's all because none of us measure up to God's standard. None of us are living in the image of God in which we were created, in which mankind was created at the start. We don't display godly characteristics. Instead, we display fallen human characteristics, like favoritism. And then that leads to unfairness and so many more problems. But what about the kingdom of God? Are these traits that we see around us every day, are they traits of the kingdom of God? Is God an unfair God? Or is he a just God? Is he a fair God? And it's funny, because when you ask that question, you think, oh, well, obviously God's a fair God. God's a just God. We've heard all those phrases before. But there's no reason on this earth why he had to be like that. God was God. He wasn't created according to any blueprint. He was not created at all. He just is. And it is just our good fortune, as it were, that God is a just God and God is a fair God. You see, when it comes to favoritism, we come through the Bible and God deters it. In fact, at times God forbids it. Do not show favoritism, he says in the New Testament. If a rich person and a poor person both come in, he says, I know what you're like. You'll get the rich person and you'll go, oh, welcome, welcome, come and sit at the front, have a cushion to sit on. And then you'll say to the poor guy, sure, you just sit at the back there somewhere. You don't matter. And we show, in many different ways, we exhibit favoritism. But God forbids it. He says, don't act like that. And we see it in the life of Jesus. He didn't have favorites. He had no problem dealing with the leper. He had no problem dealing with the Samaritan woman. He didn't have problem dealing with the prostitute. You remember in Simon's house, the Pharisee, he thought, flip's sake, how's this guy a prophet? He doesn't even know that scumbag of a woman who's sitting beside him. And Jesus knew fine rightly who she was, but he wasn't showing favoritism. He treats every one of us the same. Which brings us to God. You see, one of the things as we approach God, it matters what we think about God. It affects how we approach God, what we think about him. And you see, because we live in an unfair, unjust world, we sometimes put some of these attributes towards God, and maybe we fall into the trap of thinking, well, God actually, I'm one of God's favorites, or God must quite like me. Or maybe you fall into the trap of thinking, how could God possibly, like, I know God likes all those holy people that go to church, but how could God like me? You see, God uses words like whosoever or whoever for his invitation for people to come to him. He doesn't put limits. He doesn't put boundaries. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't say, oh, well, if you're Jewish, you can come to me. No, Jews or Greeks, doesn't matter. Doesn't say, well, men first or ladies first. No, man or woman, doesn't matter. Doesn't say, bring me the highest society first. No, he says, slave or free, doesn't matter. Whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's wonderful to know that in a world that is, and by the way, a world that is unfair, but as we come to God, let me guarantee you, God doesn't promise to sort out all the unfairness in your life today. There's a day that that will happen, but not today. In fact, if anything, God tells us your life will become more unfair. Look at his son. Look at Jesus. There's no one treated more unfairly than Jesus. And if we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we can expect to be treated like Jesus. So we can expect more unfairness in this life. But the important thing to know is that God is not unfair. And we're coming to a just God. And so, as you come to him tonight, realize that there's no first class, second class, third class people in this world. All there is those who believe in him and those who don't. I'd pray tonight that every one of us could leave here as one of the people who believe in God. Because as we believe in God, we are members of his family. And he treats his family, he treats his adopted family as real family, and you become a co-heir in his family. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the life of these great men in the Old Testament. But Lord, they're great men and women who are just exactly like us, Lord, full of flaws and full of difficulties. And Lord, even in this family where there's hatred and favoritism, and it just breeds so much contempt. And Lord, these attributes that we see aren't attributes of yours, but rather the attributes of this fallen world that we live in. Lord, help us in the midst of the unfairness of this life, Lord, to come to you believing that you're a just God, believing that you're a fair God, believing you when you say that whosoever comes to you, you will not cast away. Lord, I pray for every one of us tonight, Lord, that we would also learn from this story to rather follow you and be people who live just lives. Try to be fair in all our dealings with those people around us. Lord, I just pray that you be glorified through your word. Amen. Okay, we're just going to finish the meeting by singing some songs. But before we do, we'd just like to have one song where we can remain seated and we can think on some of the things that have been said. Because I find very often God will have spoken to me during these times, but it'll only be one wee thing. It wouldn't have been through a whole sermon. It might not have even been anything that the speaker said, but so often God speaks to me. And it's just this opportunity is that if you're conscious of that, to really let it be written on you, on the inside of your heart tonight, so that you can take it away from you. So we're going to stay seated for one song, and then we'll stand to sing.
Light, draw me closer, Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life unfolding now, and let the peace of God let it rain.